Thank y'all for that beautiful song. That's certainly my prayer every time we gather to worship. If you have your Bibles, would you please open them to John chapter 18? And we're going to look at five verses. We're going to look at verses 33 through 38. Next week, we will be giving a report from our trip to Haiti. I know I enjoyed it. I know that I was very pleased as a dad to see how well Jordan and Rebecca were doing. But obviously, it's very difficult to know that that's where she lives and then to know that she's still there. But every person has to do what the Lord called them to do. And if that's what God calls you to do, then you better get yourself to Haiti. Get up that mountain and start serving the Lord. If you have found your place in God's Word, we're now going to turn our attention. It's hard for me to believe that it's already here, but now it's time for us to start preparing for Resurrection Sunday. And so if you have found your place in God's Word and you're physically able, I'm going to ask you to stand in the honor of the reading of God's Word. In verse 33, this is John chapter 18, the Bible just says, "Then Pilate entered the praetorium again and called Jesus and said to him, 'Are you the King of the Jews?' And Jesus answered him, 'Are you speaking for yourself about this, or did others tell you concerning me?' And Pilate answered, 'Am I a Jew? For your own nation and chief priests have delivered you to me.' And then here's the question of the day: what have you done?" And Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight, so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." And Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you a king then?" And Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, for this cause I have come into the world, so that I should bear witness to the truth. And everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." And Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, "I find no fault in him at all." Would you pray with me, please? Father God, as we turn our attention to the spoken word, God, I pray that you will use this word to remind us of your life, your death, and your resurrection. Show us what it means, Lord, and show us how it applies to our life. And it's in the blessed and holy name of Jesus I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. 2 weeks ago, before we left to go to Haiti, I preached the message about the kingdom of God. And Jesus to use these 10 lepers. All 10 of them were healed. One comes back to praise, give glory to the Lord. And if you remember the context of those messages, because it's very important you understand that Jesus is still talking about his kingdom. In Luke chapter 16, verse 13, Jesus said, "No servant can serve two masters. For he will hate the one and love the other, or else he'll be loyal to one and despise the other." You cannot serve God and mammon. Now, what we all have to understand is, when it comes to the kingdom of God, you can only be part of one kingdom. In other words, we're going to have to choose the things of this world, or we're going to have to choose the things of God. And the other verse we used for context was Luke 17, 20. And now when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and said, "The kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, 'See here or see there,' for indeed the kingdom of God is within you." Now, if you understand the kingdom of God and you understand what Jesus came to do, he came to establish a heavenly kingdom on earth. But the kingdom is not in a place. The kingdom is inside of us. And so when we become a part of this kingdom that he's talking about, then we become a part of his family, part of the kingdom of God. So what we're going to look at, beginning in verse 33 of John chapter 18, is what Jesus taught about the kingdom. So Pilate comes out and he calls Jesus and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Now this is in verse 33. And Jesus answered and said, "Are you speaking for yourself about this, or did others tell you concerning me?" And Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and chief priests have delivered you to me." And then here's the question: what have you done? Now, when Jesus is talking with Pilate, or Pilate is talking with Jesus, Pilate is only concerned about himself here. And that's what makes the invitation to this message so important. Pilate is clearly thinking about his power, his position, and he wants to know, is Jesus a threat to him, or is he, this is so, another kind of movement? Now, what is amazing is when we get to the invitation, when we get to the end of this message, and Pilate tries to wash his hands of this whole mess, what Pilate did was he believed that Jesus was innocent. He believed that he was who he said he was, but he was unwilling to take a stand. You see, when Pilate was placed in the position he was in, the most important thing was something called the Peace of Rome. Pilate's number one job was to keep the peace. The way that the Romans did this, if a person committed a crime, say in my own family, the Romans would come and gather up every member of my family and crucify them on a cross. If they suspected that somebody had done something, they would go, they would gather up that person's family, they would gather up the neighbors, and they would crucify every one of them. Now, what happened is, because they did that, do you think there was much trouble in the nation? No, there was not. And if I thought you were going to do something, and I thought your action was going to cause me to be on a cross somewhere, I would be the first one to run down and say, hey, you better watch this guy. He's up to this or he's up to that. And so Pilate was very concerned about all of the uproar in the city of Jerusalem. Now, when you see what he said there, he says, am I a Jew? Now, what's interesting is the Jewish people, we can trace their heritage in the Bible all the way from the beginning. As a matter of fact, in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, when sin entered the world, God said to Adam, and I will put an enmity between you and the woman and between your seed and her seed, and he shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. And what he promised was, God promised from the time sin was going to come, that sin came into the world, he promised that he was going to do something about it. In Genesis chapter 12, God is speaking to a man named Abraham, and he said, go out of your country from your family and from your house into a land that I will show you. And he said, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you and will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And so God says to Abraham, I'm going to do something through your offspring, and every family of the earth is going to be blessed. Well, this is the history of the Jewish people. But when Jesus comes and he talks to them, he calls them whitewashed tombs. He said they are tombs that have been whitewashed, but they're filled with dead man's bones. He talks about them as a group of people who they profess God with their lips, but he said that their heart was far from them. And when you look at verse 34, when Jesus is talking with Pilate, when he answered him, he wants to know, are you asking me about my kingdom because you desire to be a part of it? You want to know me by a personal relationship? Or are you just asking me this by information? Now, when we look at a passage of Scripture like this and we talk about the kingdom of God, we talk about this kingdom is inside of us. It's not something that's not somewhere we go. It's something that's placed inside of us. We realize something. Do you know that for God to speak to us, that is a miracle beyond miracle? To know that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the God that spoke and created everything, still speaks to us. And one of the things that I want to just remind you and encourage you, when Jesus was talking to Simon Peter in Matthew chapter 16, verses 16 and 17, Peter professes, you're the Christ, the Son of the Most High God. Jesus said something very interesting to him. He said, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but my Father, which is in heaven. And when we know that God has spoken to us and we know what God wants us to do, it is absolutely a privilege to live in obedience to the Word of God. And I want to just kind of give you this as a warning. When God speaks to us, man, we need to remember who that is. And our desire should be, if God speaks to our heart, we're going to obey what he says. And I offer to you, and maybe this is based more on my own life than anything else, but there are far too many times when we know what we should do, we know what God has said to us, and we get the buts. Anybody here give a witness? Yeah, yeah. And we know it was God, and we know we heard his voice, but. You know, we can use Carly again as an example. How many of us would say, man, I sure hope somebody does something about human trafficking in Thailand, but. Right? Right? Come on now. Y'all getting spiritual all of a sudden. Come on. I was only gone a week. Come on, right? But. Right? But. Well, listen, when God speaks to us, we have to consider first and foremost that we're blessed. Now, we have to realize about Jesus' death. Jesus had predicted many times that he was going to die. As a matter of fact, in Mark chapter 10, I just want to read these verses. He said, now they were on the road going to Jerusalem, and Jesus was going before them, and they were amazed. And as they followed, they were afraid. And then he took the 12 aside among them and began to tell them of what would happen. And he said, behold, we're going to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests, to the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him to the Gentiles, and they will mock him and scourge him and spit on him and kill him, and on the third day he will rise. Now, Jesus had told them very plainly what was going to happen. They knew what was going to happen. I don't think they fully realized the consequences of it. And I want you to look in your Bible right there at the end of verse 35. Because when Pilate asked him this question, he almost sums up the entire ministry of Jesus when he says, what have you done? He didn't say, what did you do? Or what are you doing? He said, what have you done? In other words, what is happening here? And notice in verse 36, Jesus answered, and the first thing he said is, my kingdom is not of this world. That's the very first thing. Now listen, if you want to be a part of the kingdom of God, the first thing you have to realize is, it's not on planet Earth. It's not a fleshly kingdom. It's not. And he said, if my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight, so that I should not be delivered to the Jews, but now my kingdom is not from here. And Pilate therefore said to him, are you a king then? And Jesus answered, you say rightly that I'm a king, and for this cause I was born, and for this cause I've come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. And everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. All right, so notice in verse 36, Jesus plainly states that his kingdom is not of the world, not a fleshly kingdom, it's not an earthly kingdom. And just like he had said already in Luke chapter 17, it's inside, it's an inside job. And so when Jesus said that my servants would not fight, remember in Luke chapter 22, verses 50 and 51, they came to arrest Jesus. Peter whips out his sword and lops off that person's ear. And Jesus told him to put that sword up, and basically he said to him, you need to allow this to happen. And I just wonder, in my own mind, the Bible doesn't say it, and I want to make sure that I clarify that. But when he said my servants would fight, I wonder if that guy whose ear had been cut off and Jesus put it back on, I wonder was that guy there. I wonder, did Jesus look at him and say, hey, if my servants were this world, they would fight. And so when he says that, he reminds us of something that's very important. When Jesus says, my kingdom is not of this world, then that means that our purpose is not from here. And if every one of us were to have to take an honest pill, and so that we could not lie, what would you say the purpose of your life is? Is your purpose of your life to further the kingdom of God? Is your purpose to serve him every day? Because as soon as you realize that our purpose is, that his kingdom is not of this world, then that means that our enemy is not from here, that our battle is not from here, and our victory is not from here. And if we don't realize those things, we will spend our entire life trying to accomplish something that will never satisfy us. You see, in the Bible, in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, the Bible says that we are to fight the good fight. But you know what it's a good fight of? It's a good fight of the faith. And when we realize that, then we know how that we're supposed to live and how we're supposed to serve the Lord. So many times, we as Christian people, we get sidetracked. We get the wrong thing in the wrong order. And for most of the time, for the people that attend church, if you looked at the things that we do, it's not that we do anything that's hideous. It's not that we do anything that's just this terrible, awful thing. But most of the time, we don't have our priorities in the right order. We're not working to build Jesus' kingdom. We're working to build our kingdom. We're not trying to see his glory, his word proclaimed. It's all about ourselves. And when we do that, we rob ourselves of the absolute joy of serving the Lord. Now, you notice here many times Jesus says here in these verses about his cause. And I want to read these to you. It was very inspiring to me to go back and look at what Jesus actually says about his kingdom, for his cause and all these things. The first one I noticed was in Luke chapter 1. When the angel, this is when the angel came and spoke to Mary, said, do not be afraid, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. So clearly, from the time Jesus was born, he clearly did not come to establish an earthly, fleshly kingdom. In Matthew 1, when an angel was talking to Joseph, he said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary for your wife, for what is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. You see, the cause that Jesus came for was very clearly stated. Now, I want to ask you to kind of put your thinking cap on with me here for just a second. The question that I have for you was, why was Jesus called? What was Jesus called for coming and dying? Now, you may say, well, you just read those things to us. But it actually goes all the way back to Genesis. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, the Bible just simply says that God created man and woman in his image, according to his likeness, and gave them dominion over the fish of the sea, birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Now, the word dominion means to have dominion. It means to subjugate. And this is what's amazing. When God placed Adam and Eve here, he placed them here with a purpose. And that word that's used for dominion, that word that's used to subjugate, that word means to bring somebody, a people or a nation, under the control of another. Have you ever heard the word ambassador? The word ambassador means a king's representative in a foreign land. When God placed Adam and Eve here, basically the easiest way to think of it, God established earth as a colony of heaven. And Adam and Eve's job, their number one job, was to have dominion, and that is to make sure that God's will was done on earth as it is in heaven. And what happened was, when sin entered the world, that was not God's will. And so when Adam and Eve failed, when sin entered the world, so did God's purpose for man. And because God is just, because he's righteous, a man had to make it right. And what Jesus came to do is, Jesus came to restore what was lost when men sinned. But he could never do it as a fleshly kingdom, because the Bible is clear. Not flesh and blood will not enter the kingdom of God. And so then the question becomes, what did Jesus do? Well, Jesus established what was lost in the Garden of Eden when man fell. He made it possible for us to know God. He made it possible for us to serve him. It made it possible for us to do what God would have us to do. I want you to look in the Bible here, and I want you to pay very special attention to these words, because when Jesus is talking to him, he said that I should bear witness to this truth. That's right there in the end of verse 37. And what's amazing is the word that's used for witness means to martyr. In other words, Jesus said to Pilate, this truth, this kingdom that we're talking about, he said, I'm willing to die for this. That's how much it means to me. That's my purpose. That's my cause. And what's amazing is Pilate looks at Jesus and simply says this, what is truth? Now I want to ask you something. What is it in your life that you're willing to die for? What is your cause? What is that thing that you say, I'll do it? You know what Jesus said? Jesus said, I will die to reestablish the kingdom of God on earth. It's that important to me. It means that much to me. Well, one of the things that I've realized as I've lived out my Christian life is that a person who's not willing to die for Jesus will never live for him. They'll never live far. They'll always have that, but they'll always have that thing. And notice Pilate's response in verse 38. Pilate says, what is truth? Isn't it amazing when Jesus said that he was willing to die? He was going to bear witness. He was going to be the martyr. This was a truth for which I will die. And Pilate says, what is truth? And what is amazing is when you look at what he said, this is a man that had compromised everything to get where he was. This was a man that had chosen his position. This was a man that had chosen his power. And this was a man that had chosen his possessions over everything else in life. He had to pay a serious price to get where he was, to have what he had, and he had no intentions of letting it go. And I want to ask you something today. What is your response to that question? What is truth? Do you believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life? And that no one comes to the Father but by him? And then I want to ask you another question. Are you willing to give up everything that you hold dear to serve the Lord? You know, it's easy to come to church. It's relatively easy in America to serve the Lord. But what about when it costs everything? Will you look at what you have and say the truth is the most important thing is to serve the Lord? The most important thing is to live for His glory. The most important thing is to live for His purpose. I want to read, as we go into the invitation, Matthew 27:24. Pilate, the Bible just simply says, when Pilate saw that he could not prevail at all, in other words, he couldn't quiet him down, he couldn't make it go away, he said, but rather that a tumult was rising, and that was something that in his position he could not have, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I'm innocent of the blood of this person, of this just person. You see to it. You know, when we think about our response to God's kingdom, if we have the wrong response, you know what we'll believe? We'll believe it's sufficient that I just go to church. Hey, we'll look around in here and we'll look at all these empty seats and say, don't talk to me. Look at all this. Ain't nobody on that row in that row. Don't talk to me about it. I went to church today. But the call of God is to be willing to lay down our life and follow Him. The call of God is to know what God has called us to do and be willing to do that to our absolute last breath. Now, I'm always amazed. In the Bible, we don't know. I don't know. The Bible doesn't say, and I don't want to say that it says something that it doesn't, but Paul was dragged outside the city and they stoned him, and I doubt seriously that they didn't kill him, but the Bible does not say that, and I certainly never want to say anything that it doesn't say, but they left him bloody and covered in rocks. And that joker woke up and kicked them rocks off. And you know what he did? Went right back inside the town and started preaching again. You know why he did that? Because that's what God had called him to do. That's what God had called him to do. And what we need is to be that people that knows what God has called us to do. And we need to be that people that says, God, I'm going to serve you. God, I'm going to live for your kingdom. God, I'm going to do your calls in my life. And I want to tell y'all something. Everybody in here can draw their own conclusion. But most people want the kingdom of God furthered. They just don't want it furthered at their expense. Amen? Amen. Most people want everybody to be saved, but not through their witness and not through their and not through. They just want it to happen. And listen, we've all been called to bear witness. And you know what's amazing? Every single person in this room right at this second is giving their life for something. Every one of us. You may be giving it to build your career. You may be giving it to build your 401k. You may be giving it for what you fill in the blank. But everybody is giving it for something. And I want to encourage you, give it for what matters. Because you've only got one life to live, and you got one life to give. And when you get to the end, we don't get to say, oh, now I know what I should have been doing my whole life. And we get to run it backwards. Make sure you're living your life for God's purpose. Would you pray with me, please? Father God, we love you. And Lord, we thank you for every blessing that you give us. God, I thank you for the opportunity that you give us to know what your kingdom is about, that we know what your cause is, Lord. We know why you came. And God, I pray that today we would join you in that work. God, I pray that our heart's desire is to know you, to love you, and to serve you. And I pray that we will never be satisfied until these things are done. So Jesus, as we go into this invitation, I pray that your Holy Spirit, just like Amy and them sang in that song, would go up and down these aisles. And God, I pray that our prayer in our heart is, Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. And God, I pray that you would convict us in our own hearts, in our own mind, about what are we, whose kingdom are we building? What are we living for? And God, I pray that when we can answer the question, what have you done? Then God, I pray that our desires and our purpose line up with yours. And it's in the blessed and holy name of Jesus we pray. Amen and amen.